Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Final hour on a Trillville Thursday. Lots to get to. We'll get back into what the Braves looked like last night, Cole Hamels specifically. 10 games left. The Freddie Freeman conversation that isn't being had enough, certainly nationally. I mean, we can have it here, but if it's not happening nationally, then it probably doesn't matter. It should be.
Right.
We'll get to all that coming up in 20 minutes. The AMA at 140. Any question, any topic, you can call us when the time is right. You can text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can tweet us at TBM929, at RandyMac81. Direct messages on Instagram. However you want to ask the question, we'll get there at 140.
Yeah.
Kind of sitting here watching the golf coverage. And Tiger, every time he does, he's playing like the Falcons. Tiger's playing like the Falcons against the Seahawks. Every time he does something good, he follows it up with something bad. He's made five birdies and he's one over par. It's a testimony to how hard the course is, but he's got one hole left. Look, if he shoots one over in the first round, I'll take that from Tiger.
Yeah, okay. Well, he needs to get it together, Andy, because the reason why, because I picked him. But you see my dogs up there. Speaking of dogs, have you seen these new uniforms everybody showing up?
The Georgia ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
they sharp. They sharp.
I like the ones that, I like the 1980 ones, the ones that are sort of a nod to the national championship team, the white ones. Those ones are cool.
Yeah. They sharp.
I mean, I know how you feel about the blackout jerseys. They're fine. But the thing that I don't like, did you look closely at those jerseys? They got like a dog collar with spikes around the
It's very ugly. Collar.
That's very ugly. Like, that's, it's just not, I don't know. Like, I try not, I don't want to be like a snob or whatever.
I'll be a snob.
When you're Georgia.
You know how I am. I like the red jersey, the white jersey, and the silver britches. I like that. But obviously the kids want something else. And like Kenny was, Roundtree, who's in back in the studio, he was saying that, why would they put these out if they weren't going to wear them? Absolutely correct. Because, but I was looking like this. You remember whenever they show like the recruiting pictures and everything, the kids are always in the black jersey, but they never wear the black jersey. So are they actually going to wear them? I mean, they sharp. Look at Twisted. They sharp. But I'd rather see us in the silver britches and the white jersey when we go put foots in Arkansas up there in Fayetteville.
I agree with you. Wear those ones on the road, red jerseys at home. That's the classic look. Again,
that's what I like. But
you're Georgia. If you're Oregon and you have to switch your jerseys up and have different combos and be flashy like that to attract recruits, do that if you have to. But you don't have to. You're Georgia. You're better than that. You don't have to be that. You don't have to be the, you know, the bottom feeders like Oregon and Maryland and schools like that. Be classic. Be a blue blood. But here I am being a snob again. And I was able to take a shot at Oregon, which was good. Anyway, yes, they have released some of the jerseys. It's always fun to see what the jerseys look like. I don't know. Maybe they wear the black ones that first home game against Auburn, 7:30 kickoff, night game.
Last time we did the blackout against Auburn, we beat them up and down the damn field. But last time we wore the black jerseys, Alabama's still kicking out behind. I mean,
you think if you would have wore red jerseys or white, it doesn't matter what color the jerseys were that day.
We wore red, we would have got them. We wore that red. We would have got that after Derrick Henry. Probably not. But you know.
All right. Yeah. AMA at 140. We'll get to some Brave stuff coming up in 20 minutes. Let's get back to what's trending.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God!
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
you talk about Dallas, talking about some guys that's got some real talent, you know, on the outside, both at running back, both in the outside on the, as a wide receiver standpoint. They can get the ball anywhere. Their quarterback's a very good player. He's able to do some of the same things that these guys did to us last week if we allow him to. He can absolutely beat you with his arm. He's a good football player as well.
That's Raheem Morris yesterday, Falcons defensive coordinator, talking about Dallas. He obviously also talked about what went wrong against Seattle, and I think rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, myself included, by saying that, yeah, we kind of underestimated what they might be able to do in the passing game. Well, hopefully that's the last time they do that. Hopefully you go into every single game for the remainder of the season, and I understand you have a game plan, and you tailor your game plan to what you think the opposition is going to do. Hopefully they're a little bit more adjustable on the fly and adaptable. And you can, if a team is doing something that you didn't expect them to do, figure out a way to stop it. I did think Dave Archer made a really good point when we talked to him in the noon hour about the offensive line. And I know it's going to be a big test for the Falcons offensive line this weekend against what Dallas can do pass rush wise. The Seahawks knew the Falcons were going to throw the ball basically every play for the final 20 minutes of that game.
Right.
And they didn't get to Matt Ryan. So that's good. That's encouraging as well. But, you know, let's see a little bit more from the defense this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with what Raheem said right there, he's like, they're capable of making big plays. I'm talking about Dallas offensively. They're capable. Now, they didn't last week. You know, they didn't. You know, they don't. Their offensive production doesn't gear towards the personnel that they have. You know what I mean? They should be one of the highest scoring offenses in the entire league based on what they have at the offensive skill position and a pretty good offensive line. But, you know, they're still, you know, three clouds in the dust. They need to, like, they make Dak throw when he has to. Why don't they just let him throw? You know what I'm saying? I hate the fact that sometimes you got to do it with your quarterback. Georgia always does it. Throw it when you want to throw it. Don't throw it because you have to throw it. You know what I mean? And I think that they can find a way to do that if you're Dallas when you look at all the weapons they got. Atlanta has got to play better on the outsides because Dak is so comfortable with throwing the ball on the outside. Those little fade, that throw that he threw that was a pass interference, man, you can't throw it no better than what Dak did. Dak is capable of those things, and that's one thing Atlanta got to do. They can't give up the big play. I thought that's one reason that L.A. won, even though they didn't play their best game against Dallas. They didn't give up the big play. Zeke makes some nice plays, but they didn't give up that big play, and Atlanta's got to eliminate that part on Sunday if they want to win.
Absolutely. The other thing, though, Randy, that you talk about with their offense being maybe not as explosive as you would assume that it would be given the weapons that they have, don't let this be the week where they figure it out, though. Like, how many times last year did we come in on Monday and like, damn, that offense sure did look better than we expected them to. Boy, they sure figured it out on Sunday against the Falcons. Like, don't let this be another week of that where, oh, man, Dak Prescott, sure, you know. Yeah. Everybody's good in the NFL. We know that. But the Falcons have a real knack of making of being the game where the offense finds it. Being the game where, you know, oh, man, they hadn't done that all year. But Marcus Mariota last year got benched. And then he's on a different team now. But he sure looked good that day he played the Falcons defense last year. Like, don't – same thing happened on Sunday. I mean, Russell Wilson's good. He's going to have good games all season. But he's not going to go 31 for it. It was the best game of his life from a passing perspective. He's never had 88% completion percentage before in a game. Certainly not when he throws 35 times. Like, don't be the outlier. Don't be the get right game. The Falcons were the get right game the whole first half of the season last year.
I think we said that last year about him too.
Yeah,
we did.
And you know who
that
needs to get right? Dallas. After what happened to them against the Rams last
year. Right,
the Falcons
man.
Need to get right too, but so does Dallas.
You're right, man, and this could be a game where it could be a shootout because of the potential, and I keep saying potential, of both of these offenses because of the skill positions that you have. That puts the onus on the defense. I'm with Dave. Run the football. You need to stay committed. If you can stay committed to the run, and as far as Andy, you keep the score to a point where you don't have to pass every down, the Falcons should have the advantage because of what L.A. did. The L.A. Rams' offensive line is not better than the Falcons' offensive line. It just isn't. All right? It just isn't. But at the same time, they were able to run the football consistently against them with two backs. The Falcons can do the same thing, but the one thing that L.A. did was L.A. never got in trouble where they had to go away from it. The Falcons have to stay within a possession or a possession behind or ahead to be able to commit to the run and be able to get Todd Gurley those carries that he should have gotten that second half of the game on Sunday.
I mean, maybe I'm asking for too much, but like,
get a lead. You never ask for too much, Andy.
Get a lead. You know,
why not?
Like, get a situation.
It works for everybody else.
Do you? Yeah, it really works great for the Falcons' opponents when they get a lead, and then they have to make the Falcons' offense one dimensional. And I know they scored 3 points on the first drive. They kicked a field goal. All right, baby steps. Last year on the first drive, it was a sack, a false start, and Matt Ryan damn near got killed. So it was better than last year's first drive. Let's try to score a touchdown on the first drive this week. And then, I don't know, maybe follow it up with another one. If you want to kick a field goal, kick a field goal on the second drive of the game. Like, get out to a lead, start fast. That's what we said they needed to do last week. They didn't do it. That's what they need to do this season. They need to get off to a good start. They didn't do it against Seattle last week. They can salvage it and get back to 500 this weekend against Dallas. One thing that's going to really be vital is the secondary, and this guy right here, Isaiah Oliver, playing better.
It's exciting, really. It's just another test for us and kind of to show where we're at as a secondary group. And I feel like we have a great plan. Again, we've been able to mentally assault the quarterback, confuse him, scheme things, disguise things. So I feel like we're in a really good spot to be prepared and have a great game.
Well, they say you got to have a short memory to be a good corner in the NFL.
Yeah, man.
He just said we have a great plan again. I wouldn't say that the plan last weekend was great, but whatever, it's all good. Flush it and go back out there this weekend. You asked this question on Monday, maybe Tuesday. I don't remember what it was. Like, if you're just talking about straight, like, skill for skill on paper, the Cowboys receiving core probably better than the Seahawks receiving core. Like,
oh no, probably they're better.
They got talent in that receiving room.
Yeah. I mean, they got talent. That's what I'm saying. Like, nobody really thought that Dallas. I mean, they thought they were talented, but then nobody thought they were going to be able to get a guy like CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
The little bit I got to see of CeeDee Lamb in the Dallas Cowboy uniform, like, this cat legit. You saw that punt return, like, this cat is legit. This is a legit player. And then you look, they want to do the whole 11 personnel type thing with those three guys out there. They lost a starting tight end, but their team is about Ezekiel Elliott. And when they get cute and try to make it not about him, is when they lose, when they struggle. Yeah, Zeke had 22 carries, over 90 yards and all that thing. Zeke should have had 25 carries. For 100 yards. That's their bell cow. They don't want Dak to have to drop back and throw the ball all over the yard. They can win games like that, Andy. They can't win championships like that. Mm-hmm. It's all about Ezekiel Elliott.
We caught the ball a lot against the Rams, too. And, I mean, he's good for that. All-purpose yards is what I'm looking at. Like, I want to bottle him up in the run game for sure. But if they're just dumping it off to him on little screen passes and he's getting first downs that way, what's the difference?
He's a great screen passer. He's a great – and they're a good screen team. And the one thing about him, as I said this probably Tuesday, Andy, is the one thing about Zeke's always falling forward. He's a forward-falling running back, man. He's bigger than you think he is and he's faster than you think he is. So, I mean, it's all about him. Again, the offense for Dallas, it was meh. Looked like a typical Dallas offense like it did last year. Real stagnant, boring, predictable, you know. But, I mean – that was one thing we didn't know how it was going to be with Mike McCarthy coming in. Does he get Kellen Moore call the plays the way he wants to call them? So many different things have changed. But if he don't get together and this offense don't get looking right, the last left-hander to throw a ball in the NFL is going to be out of there.
He is the last left-hander to throw a ball in the NFL, remember, isn't he?
Yeah, I got that right when I beat you in sports trivia.
I don't remember the result, but I do remember you getting that question right.
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
I won that one. Yeah.
Oh, you did? All right. Dan Quinn also spoke yesterday about how, you know, well, he didn't speak about the injuries, but hopefully getting guys healthy and getting guys back. Here he is on Marlon Davidson.
I think just a full practice week where he can get all the reps and go through the whole process. And I think at the end of the week, you know, he certainly felt like he could go last weekend. But we're always going to make the right decision for the guys and make sure they have a good practice week all the way through so there's no setbacks. And so Marlon is another one in that example. So we're looking to throw a great week all the way through. And if he hits all those markers, he'll get his first playing time this weekend.
And that would be awesome. I would love to see Marlon Davidson out there. The Falcons defensive line looked pretty good last week. Grady Jarrett looked really good, as he always does. I know Aaron Donald is Aaron Donald, but he was able to absolutely eat the interior of that Cowboys offensive line alive last weekend. Let's let Marlon Davidson get out there next to Grady and see what those two guys look like together.
Why not?
That's what I want to see. That's what you drafted him for.
Yeah, why not? I mean, the one thing about him is that he is – he's not going to have a full boat or whatever because of the fact that he's coming back off of an injury. But yeah, I would love to see him get out there and play a little bit and run around and get, you know, because we know we've had him on our show twice and we love this young man. He's a fun kid to be around. Now it's time to put some of that production on the field.
We'll come back and talk about what Cole Hamels looked like last night. Was it good enough? We'll see him again in 5 days, but was it good enough? We'll get into that coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The hurt doesn't show, but the pain still grows. Some stranger to you and me.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. Yesterday at 1:20, I think we played a Whitney Houston song because you were singing it during the break. Is that what's going on here too?
No, I don't know, man. I was singing. I don't know what the hell I was. I don't know what the hell I was singing over here during the break, man. But I every time I hear it, because I used to love this before the game, but I would like the live version so I could hear the crowd and everything in the song that about this song by Phil Collins. But every time I hear the drum, I always think about Mike Tyson.
Yep.
And the thing about it, I was going to say something about Mike yesterday because I guess, you know, Mike and Roy supposedly had this fight, Roy Jones Jr., and they got Mike, you know, in sparring. Why does Mike always spar in his draws in them Air Monarchs? If like, Mike be wearing his draws in them Air Monarchs and still be doing that same thing he used to do with Customato. Like, I just don't want – I don't know if Roy don't need to fight Mike, man.
Right. I don't think Mike needs to fight Roy, and I don't think Roy needs to fight Mike. I don't think it's a good idea either
I just don't want this to go down, man. I really don't want it to go down, man. I don't.
I think they should both be, you know, doing something in boxing as like an analyst or I don't know what, but not getting punched in the head anymore. That's what they shouldn't be doing. They're too old to be getting punched
it's
in the
so
head.
So much going. I just saw right here that South Carolina, I thought Hilinski was going to be the quarterback, didn't you?
So did I.
No.
I did, yeah.
No. Colin Hill, he's a grad transfer. Guess where he's from, though? Colorado State.
Temple.
So look at you, Bo. Bo done brought his vans out there and took that young man's job.
He got that kid Connor Stockton from up in North Georgia to commit to
man.
South Carolina, too. He's a big-time recruit.
Bobo cheating.
Hey, didn't Gunnar Stockton and Brock Vandergrift play in a high school football game?
Yeah, they played last weekend.
I don't know who won that game. I never.
Last weekend.
Stockton's team won. Okay.
Yeah, it was. They got to a big lead. Raymond County did, and then Vandergrift led them back, tied the game up, but then Hunter Stockton got another touchdown. It was a really good game. Really good game.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, obviously, both quarterbacks are going to be playing in the SEC in the next couple.
We'll
of
be
years.
We're better. What's our kid's name again?
Brock Vandergrift.
Brock Vandergrift is that dude. I don't know nothing about him, but he that dude. He better than – what's the other dude's name?
Isn't Gunnar Stockton.
Gunnar. That's such a quarterback name. Stockton.
Isn't Brock Vandergrift versus Gunnar Stockton, like, that's the matchup in a high school football movie. Those are both high school football movie names.
Like they got the girlfriend named Kelly and Veronica.
Yeah, and they're friends, but they have to be enemies that week because Gunner and Brock are playing against each other.
And they always they were at the burger joint with their Lettermans on.
Yep, and Brock rolled in. They didn't expect him to be there, and Gunner was. And like he walks up, and Gunner doesn't see him coming, and then he slams his hand down on the table super hard. And he like pays for Gunner's meal as a power play. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what happened. That's probably what happened up there in Raven County last weekend. hey, so you know how Joe Patrick's a troublemaker? Well, he wasn't. He was going to come on the show, and then he had a press conference he had to be a part of, and then I guess the press conference ended early, so now he is going to come on the show.
Why he's a troublemaker, because we always talk about this. I bet Joe is one of the best media scrummers there is, but he seems to me like he's a bully on the Zoom scrums. Like, he just, like, Joe don't never mute his mic.
For sure. He's got the feedback going. What did you say it is on short yardage plays? It's elbows.
A&E, man. A-holes and elbows.
Same thing in a media scrum. Joe Patrick is all A&E when it comes to a media scrum, even on the Zoom. Let's talk to Joe.
In one corner, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday host, Andy and Randy, at a combined 12 feet, 3 inches, and just under 400 pounds, to the best of our knowledge. And in the other corner, 92.9 The Game's reporter, Smokin' Joe Patrick, at an undisclosed height and weight, because he likes to cause trouble.
Joe Patrick joins us on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy at 1:20 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Even when he says he's not going to, he joins us, which
way to go,
we
Joe.
Appreciate. How are you, Joe?
I'm okay. I was doing my best Kawhi Leonard hey voice when Randy was talking about my Zoom etiquette there, but other than that, you know, I'm doing well.
Yeah, you're a bully on the Zoom. We know it. Hey, Cole Hamels finally made his Braves debut last night. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty much what I expected, and I think that it was a successful outing, all things considered, and I think that really we're kind of at a halfway point in terms of how successful it is. We kind of need to wait it out and just see how his body recovers over these next couple of days as he goes into his sides and his bullpens and things like that before his next start, just to make sure that arm is and everything is feeling all right. So I'm kind of holding out a little bit of, you know, reservation there. But I think that it went pretty well. Obviously, things kind of unraveled for him a little bit there in the third inning. But, you know, he seemed pretty pleased with the way he was able to throw some of his pitches. Something that was interesting that he mentioned in his kind of build up, his ramp up as this team approaches the postseason, is the fact that he's really got to not only get himself stretched out and build that endurance in his arm, but he's also got to just develop the technique on the pitches that he throws. And he's a guy who throws four pitches. So he's a guy who's got kind of a wide repertoire. And it's something that he said that he doesn't even typically do when he's building up for a normal season in spring training. He kind of, you know, when he's working on his pitches, he kind of develops one, then the other, and you just build them together over time. And right now, he's got to get himself to a point where he can throw at least, you know, three, if not all four of those pitches that he likes by the time the postseason rolls around. He's only got a couple more outings to be able to do that. So yeah, it's a tough situation for him, but he does seem like he's got a level head about everything, and he's kind of already been through it all. He's kind of prepared himself for this over these last couple months, so he knows what he needs to do. But I think right now you just want to kind of see him go out there and feel good and continue to progress and not really so much focus on the results.
Hey, Joe P., I got Paul Bird. He was on with Dukes and Bell. We played the clip earlier in the show with him talking about a certain pitcher who might get an opportunity because of the fact is that there's no breaks in the playoffs. As a Mike Foltynewicz or Sean Newcomb or guys like that, do you think that there's a possibility that we'll see them on that playoff roster? And if not, I mean, and if so, shouldn't we see them pitch before the playoffs?
Yeah, so I definitely think that Newcomb has a chance to make it, although it is tough because there are so many, you know, his spot would be in the bullpen, and the Braves have so many quality bullpen arms. It's not like there are too many guys who are really giving someone like him a chance to get his name in the mix. But I do think that he has a chance. Foltynewicz, I don't foresee that happening. I think we could potentially see Mike make a start just so the Braves can see what he's got. If they're in a situation in the last series against Boston where maybe they've already clinched a playoff spot, it's kind of a lame duck game and they can just put him out there and see what he's got. Maybe you have something like that, but I would not anticipate Mike Foltynewicz being on the playoff roster. But I'm with you. I think that the Braves are, you know, they need to see what they have in some of these guys because, you know, they're guys like Alex Anthopoulos has been talking about. When he's talked to media after the trade deadline, after the Fried injury, just kind of, you know, knowing that they've got these guys still kind of stored away in Gwinnett. I just think that when it comes to Mike Foltynewicz specifically, his issues were so much more fundamental when it comes to his actual, you know, physique and having to build all that back up again. It's going to be more difficult for him, but the reports have been good. The velocity is getting back up. He's added, I think 15 pounds or so last time they checked in with him. So things are looking good, but I would not expect them to be on the playoff roster.
So what is the playoff rotation going to look like as you see it today? Obviously things can change. It's 10 games left, mm-hmm. but if you had to set the playoff rotation today, what would it look like?
All right. So I'm going to throw a curveball here at you, Andy, because I think I'm gonna give you the rundown of what Brian Snicker has said, which is that the rotation right now is pretty much set as Max Fried, Ian Anderson, Cole Hamels, and Kyle Wright. It's kind of like a four-man rotation right now. If they need to go to a fifth man during this regular season, they can throw a bullpen game or something like that. But those are kind of the four guys that Brian Snicker has outlined so far. I'm going to throw a curveball in there, and as long as the injury, the kind of the back tightness that he was suffering the other night isn't too bad.
It is going to be Huascar Ulloa.
Huascar Ulloa, man, he has continued to improve. He looks like he probably throws like the easiest gas of anybody on this team. Like it doesn't even look like he's throwing that hard. He's getting in the upper 90s. He's giving you he's been like when you compare him to a guy like Kyle Wright. Kyle Wright's obviously the bigger name prospect, the guy that a lot of fans have been looking forward to more. But when you compare their two, you know, appearances, I don't think it really comes that close. You feel like if you get five innings out of Kyle Wright right now, it's more of the exception rather than the rule. And with Walker Yanoa, it feels like that's, you know, something like that would be pretty typical for him. So I like Yanoa a lot. I think he's continued to progress, and I think that what we saw from him from his last start is exactly what you would want to see from a pitcher heading into the postseason. So I'll throw him in the mix, and I think that what's really interesting with the Braves right now, when you look at this expanded playoff roster, is that you will need to throw at least four guys starting in the playoffs this year because there are no off days. So if you make a run, you know, you're going to need to be going through a lot of your pitcher, more pitchers than you would normally be able to, or you would normally need. Sometimes, you know, teams can go to a three-man rotation in the playoffs. That's not going to happen for any team this year. So it actually, you know, I think, you know, is going to be in this mix as long as that injury is okay.
Okay. So what about the guy, Joe, that you know, that wears the double numbers? What about him?
He who shall not be named, right? Yeah.
All right.
I mean, not a lot has changed with Luke Jackson from last time we spoke about him on Tuesday. He's just a guy in a rut right now, and you know, it's unfortunate for him. He's not the same guy that he was last year. At least that's what he's shown recently. And I hate just coming on here and crapping on a guy for performance.
Now do it.
But, you know, they've just not been good enough. You know, it's just
do it. Randy loves it.
I can hear him just, yeah, laughing in the background. No, like, you can't really justify including him in the squad right now. Like, simple as that. You would never feel confident, certainly, putting him into a game, especially in the postseason. So if you feel like that, you know, it's really hard to carry somebody like that. And it's not like he's been crucial to this team throughout the season in terms of the team getting the performances. Obviously, he's not when he's not been throwing well. So, yeah, don't see it for him. Maybe that'll be a relief for Randy.
Oh, yeah, always. Hey, Joe P., real quick, something we've been talking about, and Freddie Freeman should be in the MVP conversation. Why are we not hearing more about Freddie Freeman in the MVP conversation?
It's so funny. He's just not a national name for whatever reason. And, like, Bryce Harper was speaking earlier this season talking about how great Freddie Freeman was. And he was like, yeah, you know, it's funny. He's just, like, in that little market in there. Like, he didn't say it like that, but that was kind of the way he was pitching it when he was talking to these reporters about how good Freddie Freeman is. Bryce Harper said Freddie Freeman's one of the best guys in baseball. Travis d'Arnaud said that he's a guy that he's just, like, continues to learn from this season and is one of the best players he's ever been around. And that's the story you hear from a lot of players, not just talking about one of the best in baseball, but one of the best they've ever seen. But for whatever reason, he just does not, maybe it's because he's not, you know, he's not like a super young, flashy, kind of marketable kind of guy, although I think he's very marketable. And he's really funny. He's a great guy to talk to post-game. I don't know why he doesn't get more national respect, but he's clearly, clearly one of the best hitters in baseball.
Joe, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for thanks for making time today. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Smoking Joe Patrick there, our Braves reporter. Atlanta United as well, but, I mean, Atlanta United hadn't won in a while. We'll ask him about Atlanta United.
Hey, we're not going to abandon our squad, damn it.
No, we're not abandoning them. They, you know, they didn't play this week. They play Saturday. They win a game. You know what I mean? It's really weird, though, the conundrum of, or the hypocrisy of old baseball grandpas being mad about young flashy players and the way they play, but then that being the reason why they pay attention to them and vote for them for MVP. Freddie Freeman is exactly what old baseball grandpas should love. Quiet, has a crew cut, humble, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, we'll get to an AMA coming up next. Any question, any topic, call us up, 404-741-0929. You can call on the phone lines and ask. Text line, Twitter. We'll answer your questions next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything.
Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. The AMA Ask Me Anything to wrap up the show every single day. Questions for me, Randy, Brian, Ken Roundtree filling in for Wendy the next couple of days. Any question, any topic. And we start, Randy, on the phone lines with Chris, who is in Atlanta. What's up, Chris?
What up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hello.
So my question is, who's under more pressure this week? Is it Dirk Cutter or Raheem Morris?
Great question. I'm gonna go Raheem. Appreciate the call, Chris. I'm gonna go Raheem.
How come?
Because of what he said.
Yeah, that's a great. Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't hear too much from Dirk, but because of the fact, like you said, Bonk, how he basically put it all on himself. I'm gonna say Raheem.
Yeah, and I get where you're coming from. I'm gonna say Dirk Cutter just because it's now what. This will be the 18th game. He's been the offensive coordinator for the Falcons in his second stint here. He's talking about year two and the language and being more up to speed. Not to mention, he's got Matt Ryan and Todd Gurley and Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage, who had 100 yards. Like, I just think if this Falcons offense can't be explosive now, when are they going to be? You know? Like, I need something from the Falcons offense this week. And so, yeah, I'll say Cutter. There's so much pressure on all these guys right now, though. Put Dan Quinn on the list. Dan Quinn's got more pressure on him than either one of those guys, I think.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's Thomas Dimitroff, even though Dimitroff's not doing anything right now because, you know, they're not making trades, drafts over, all that. He's got pressure on him because he built this team. So there's pressure on all these people. They need to win. You cannot go 0-2 after the offseason that the Falcons had, where they preached continuity and preached being 6-2 in the second half of the year last year. You cannot start the season 0-2.
Like, no, you cannot.
It's such a disaster if they do. Hopefully they don't. Another phone call here. Skip's Indicator. What's up, Skip?
Skip, what up, homie?
What's happening, Randy?
Hey, man,
this weather got all the yams back in the can, man. It's ain't no yams out here today.
I believe it.
Hey, man,
it's my A&M. It's my AMA. Okay, if you were an owner of a professional football team, name your head coach, defensive coordinator, and offensive coordinator, who would you want?
Bill wow. Belichick.
Yeah, Bill Belichick. First.
Sean Payton as my OC.
Ooh.
DC. Who would you put as a DC?
Wade Phillips?
Wade Phillips, yeah. Probably Wade
Pete
Phillips.
Carroll? I think one of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want Belichick as my head coach. I'll probably take Josh McDaniels as my offensive coordinator because that's worked out pretty good with those guys.
That's a great
one. I mean, if I can pick, I'll put Pete Carroll as my defensive coordinator. And then those are my coaches? Sure. Sign me up. That would probably win in some games. Here's one from our guy, Jeff. If you were running for public office, which athlete would you not want to publicly endorse you? Like, who's the last guy you want on like endorsing your ticket if you're running for public office?
O.J. Simpson.
That's what I was going to say. Dang it. I don't know. Aubrey Huff. Are you familiar with Aubrey Huff?
Ray Carruth. Days? Yeah, Ray Carruth.
Ray Carruth you don't want? I mean, yeah. There's anybody who's been in court for murder. Yeah, even if you got acquitted. I don't need the endorsement. There's a lot of them though. What about locally? Is there someone locally you would want endorsing you?
Oh, you know who I don't want endorsing me?
Luke Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need that guy endorsing. You don't need him affiliated with you in any way. Here's a good one. Is it okay to share an emergency stick of deodorant with friends or coworkers? Or is that
a spray? A spray?
No, it's a stick. It's a stick. You got the
I didn't hear stick. Hold on. Is it okay to share your stick deodorant?
So say you forget to wear deodorant to work and you're stinking. And you mention it or your coworker notices. I mean, you and I, when we see each other, we work in close proximity. You would let me know if I was musty.
You're damn right I would.
If you had an extra stick of deodorant in your backpack, would it be acceptable for me to borrow it?
Oh, hell no.
Really?
No.
Because I'd let you borrow mine, but here's what I would need from you.
What's that?
You need to take a paper towel or something and just wipe the top layer off after you use it. You probably
I understand.
You don't want my armpit, you know, hair and stuff in your armpit. Hell,
let me tell you something, man.
Give me a wipe.
I get all the etiquette what you're talking about. There ain't no way in hell I'm letting you ever or no man ever use my damn roll-on deodorant. Now, you want to irritate my wife? Let somebody use her damn deodorant. It's going away. She gonna throw it away, or you can have it. There's Andy. I love you, brother, and you know I do. I do. I love you so much, brother. But ain't no way in the hell that I'm using deodorant behind you or any man.
You can feel free to use mine if you ever need it. I always have some in my backpack.
Hey, man, I just be tart. I'd just be tart.
So who would be the one using your wife's deodorant, by the way?
Like if Kai uses it, but like if Kai uses it or something, oh yeah, she's just like, ugh,
I thought you were saying, because I've been in a pinch before, like we're on vacation or something. I'll put some secret on if I don't have.
Oh hell no! See,
but you gotta, I'm not even gonna lie.
I did it once, dog. Of course you have. And everybody, like it can't hold me. I got too much pH. My pH level too high for secret.
Me too.
Yeah, me too. Man. So I go.
Time of day apply if that's what you're using.
Yeah, I go right back to, you know, but I ain't never been like that grown man musty where you like what I call that whiff, just smelling all active. It's been a lot. Like, I don't smell like that. Like,
you're lucky.
Like, just smelling active.
When did you start having to wear deodorant? How old were you? Do you remember?
I probably started wearing it when I was 12.
Okay, so middle school.
Yeah, probably middle school when I started wearing it.
I remember the day. It was after gym class in fourth grade. After gym class in fourth grade, we're lined up to go back to our main class. Jamal Banks, standing in line right behind me, starts like, making a big show of it. Like smells me, gets close to it, and then starts making a big production about how I don't smell good. And then by the end of the day, everybody's talking about it. Thanks a lot, Jamal. Yeah,
but I'm just saying, dog, it's just must because it could – because whenever you try to cover it up, no matter what movement you make, you can smell it.
Yep, exactly. You know what I mean?
Like you try to walk with your arms down, Andy. You smell it active.
Well, and that just bottles it up. That just concentrates the smell. And then the next time, because eventually you're going to have to lift your arms. Eventually, yeah. When you do, big puff of disgusting waft goes everywhere.
Yeah,
in the room.
Man. That active smell.
Once, if you don't notice it, it doesn't get too bad. But as soon as you notice it, it's that nervous smell. You get that nervous musty. Nervous musty is a lot worse than active musty. That's the worst musty you can be, is nervous musty. That's my opinion. Let's get the one for Brian. Do we have one?
Have either of you done a bar mat shot before?
There's no way in hell I'll ever do that.
Yeah, that's how you get COVID right there. Don't do that.
Yeah, there's no way in hell.
Yeah, and a bar mat shot, for people that don't know, is, you know, that little rubber collector thing they make the drinks on.
There's no way in hell.
Funnel it into a glass and then you take a shot of it.
Yeah, there's no way in hell.
No, never.
There's no way in hell. Yeah.
What are some of your biggest pet peeves?
I got a lot of them, so you know me. we'll put a whole other damn hour in the show.
Go ahead. What are a couple for you, Randy?
Randy's got a lot, so many pet peeves.
I got a lot of them, dog. So there's too many for me to even do. I'll tell you what, my pet peeve, I'll just say my home pet peeve. I hate when people leave glasses around. Dude, like, that is the most irritating thing ever, because there's like 16 glasses that are in in the sink at one time. So you mean to tell me every time you come get a glass of water, you're asking a new glass? So irritating. So
you have the same glass.
Exactly. Yeah, that the fact that my wife leaves her coffee cups with like damn near a full coffee cup, though. That's what she'll take two sips and then just leave it. Mm-hmm. Like, what the hell was the point of that? Go out there in the garage and get you one of them 6-hour energy drinks, them 5-hour energy drinks.
Oh, don't use a 6-hour energy. I learned that one the hard way. 5-hour energy, just fine. That's a company that has a brand name that is reputable. Those little 6-hour energies that they try to sell at the grocery store next to them that are cheaper.
Right.
That's a bad mistake. Only make that one once.
Yeah.
That hurts. Biggest pet peeve for me is at work. If you do something with something that is your job and you don't do it well enough and someone else has to do it for you, whether it's lazy or maybe you're just not good enough at it, if someone else has to do your job for you because you're not doing it, nothing makes me more frustrated than that. It's your job.
Unwanted crummage at the damn at the place where we eat our lunch at and stuff. The unwanted crummage.
Oh,
dude, how hard is it to swipe your damn crummage? Just swipe it on the floor if you don't do that little thing onto your hands. So damn annoying.
I agree. Clean up your spot if you're gonna eat at work.
Clean up your damn spot. If everybody eats there and the damn fish in the microwave, person, what the hell is wrong with you?
You mean Hugh Douglas?
Yes, Hugh.
Yeah,
the fish in. Fish, him and my man Mike. Fish in the damn microwave. Really?
It's the biggest workplace faux pas that you can break. Don't do that. Don't
do that.
All right, let's get the takeaways of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
No Wendy Adams today or tomorrow. Ken Roundtree filling in, doing a great job. We start with Ken. What's your takeaway of the day, Ken?
Well, one, Randy ain't letting you borrow any deodorant, that's for sure.
Nope. Hell no.
No deodorant from Randy. We're just going to be stinking. What did he say? You'll be sour? What was it?
I'll be tart. I'll be tart. I'd walk around tart.
What about you, Randy?
My takeaway of the day is now Andy has to deal with that damn Cole Hamels for his wife's affection.
No, she's not into Cole Hamels. Just Jeff Francoeur. That's it.
Yeah.
Cole Hamels doesn't do anything for her. Jeff Francoeur does.
You're telling yourself that.
She told me that. I believe her. Okay. Speaking of Braves pitchers, didn't know that it was going to be something that we monitored this year, but apparently now we have to focus on whether or not Folty is thick enough. Folty being thick is not something I expected to care about this season. What about you, Brian?
Brock Vandegrift and Gunnar Stockton sound like made-up quarterbacks in a dramatic TV show who have girlfriends named Kelly and Veronica. Nervous Musty is worse than active Musty. And guys, I like fishing too.
Yeah, fishing's fun. Everybody likes fishing. Just, you know.
What the hell are you talking about?
We talked about fishing earlier. We both agreed that we liked it.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We'll be back tomorrow on Friday. It'll be a Falcons Friday. Have a great Thursday afternoon. Talk to you later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.